Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, as mentioned in Galatians 5. Dear friends, that is the subject of today's radio message. This word, gentleness, can also be translated as kindness and merciful love and care. In Galatians 5:22-23, Paul mentions 9 details of the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of Christians, none of which should be dismissed by God's people, and all of which, by God's grace, should be embraced by us and demonstrated from us when it is well with our souls. One preacher divided the 9 details of the fruit of the Spirit into 3 sets of 3. He suggests the first 3 details of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, refer to inward graces in relationship to God. Then the next 3, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, tell of the fruit toward others in our lives, by God's grace and Spirit. And the last 3 details, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance or self-control, are fruits in reference to ourselves when confessing Christians. We are now on the 5th fruit, then, to be viewed especially in reference to all our relations and ways with others, and that is showing gentleness or kindness to all in all our ways. Let's study this, asking for God's blessing, considering the following points. 1. The explanation and description of this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. 2. The foundation and support for this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. And 3. The importance and blessings with this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. First then, consider, dear friends, more particularly what is meant with gentleness as fruit of the Spirit. It is amazing, actually, how difficult it is to describe this fruit, gentleness. You will find it described in many other English translations as just kindness. And the word in the original refers to having a tender attitude and outlook towards others, showing a sweet, benign, caring, and courteous disposition and regard toward others. This gentleness our text speaks of is about being graciously and truthfully accommodating to others, approachable and friendly, pleasant and helpful, and encouraging whenever and wherever you can be without compromise to the truths of God in any way. Gentleness as fruit of the Spirit in our lives has been described as, quote, Christian sweetness of temper, or as gracious reasonableness, or holy, hearty, big-heartedness. It is showing humble and genuine loving-kindness in all our relations and relationships with others. Paul is telling us, if we walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, this, gentleness. This fruit is what the Holy Spirit works in Christians, living the Christian life, being most gentle one toward another. Is this fruit of the Spirit something present and growing in your life too, by God's grace, and in mine? The question is for me too, surely. As one put it, the gentle person is someone you'd feel very comfortable speaking with about things that are troubling you in your life. Someone you would feel very comfortable with sharing your struggles in your Christian walk. This isn't someone who is going to be abrasive and dismissive and prickly. This is someone who can be tender and warm and nurturing. Well, are you that person? Is there a welcoming and nurturing disposition about you and me? Here in explaining and describing this fruit of gentleness more, let me mention a few other scripture exhortations for the growth and demonstration of this fruit. In Philippians 4 verse 5 we read, let your moderation, or you could also translate your gentleness, let your gentleness be shown unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Do you hear it? Paul is exhorting from an unjust imprisonment for the gospel's sake, that's the context, that so Christians should live. Let your Christian friendliness and gracious reasonableness or kind yielding to others be shown to all men, he says. In Titus 3 verse 2, we read Paul exhorts the Christians on the island of Crete, where the people were generally known as crude and rude. He exhorts to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. In James 3:17, the Apostle James, ever looking for practical Christianity, wrote by the Spirit, in opposition to the way of the world and sinful mankind, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, he says, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, we read about Paul's ministry in the congregation in Thessalonica. He writes, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." This picture of living and working among the Thessalonians, even as a nursing mother who cares for her own children, is so opposite the way of the natural man and worldly leadership. Paul, unlike the enemies of the truth, was not harsh or indifferent, but tenderly nurturing in all his care and ministry as missionary apostle. Can you imagine Bachelor Paul, who went through so many harsh and brutal experiences as a missionary, that this was his manner, seeking ever to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, including this gentleness, our focus this sermon? Being gentle in his ministry, in the same chapter in 1 Thessalonians, verses 11 to 12, 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul makes clear that doesn't mean being soft on sin or tolerant of evil in any compromising way. No, for what does Paul go on to say after speaking of being among them as a nursing mother? He mentions that also he was a father among them, exhorting and comforting and charging them in regards to their responsibilities to walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Clearly, this fruit of gentleness which the Holy Spirit works in us and through us is a gentleness he works, which is always in sync also with all the other holy characteristics and laws of God. The fruit of gentleness, you can say, does stand firmly for truth and right, and for godliness and lawfulness, but it does so in a humble, kind-hearted, long-suffering, patient, loving, gracious, helpful manner. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. A further point still, to state in connection with this explanation and description of this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is that when worked by the Holy Spirit in you, it is a fruit relating to all of life, including the realm of nature, and to the animal world, even. Listen here to what one wrote, and consider the scope and extent of this fruit of gentleness in a Christian's life filled with the Holy Spirit. Quote, "Our gentleness or kindness should be of such a caliber," wrote this person, "that it embraces all of life. It should enfold the pets in our care and the livestock on our farms, the shrubs, grass, and flowers in our gardens, the forests, the lakes, wildlife, and resources of the earth entrusted to our care. All should be treated with gentleness." End of quote. Dear friends, it is true, isn't it? Surely, by God's grace, when you are a Christian, having the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, that will show even in how the animals are treated. In Proverbs 12, verse 10, we read thus, "A righteous man regards the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." The fact is, sinful mankind by nature can be so brutally unkind and coldly harsh and not tender and kind at all. Not to other people, nor even to their pets or farm animals. But the fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, gentleness, affecting every relationship and everything, including the animals and the world of nature around us. Again, in applying this now personally, are you someone having this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness? From all the texts referred to so far, do you see more clearly the meaning of this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness? Do you own it? Do you acknowledge it? This fruit must be evident in our lives, and what we care to have ripen in our lives more and more, if it is well. If you can live being unkind towards anyone at all, that is not of God, and it's so wrong and unchristlike. If you don't care about being gentle, and you can live being unkind in any way to anyone without being truly sorry about that, that just doesn't reflect a Christian spirit at all. Oh yes, a Christian must be firm against what is wrong, but still remember gentleness that shows itself also in word and deed. In our home life and family life too, shouldn't this gentleness be much present in dealing with our closest relationships, with spouse and children and parents and siblings? Oh, it is hypocritical when we show all gentleness outside the family home, but within the family context, we are short-tempered and harsh and impatient in our relationships. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, the inspired wise man wrote, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Who isn't convicted by such a truth-telling proverb, especially in regards to your conduct within the family home? Gentleness as a fruit of the Spirit, and a measure of it, and a whole lot more of it. Who will not agree how good that would be in our homes and churches and schools and workplaces and all of society? But now let us move on to our second main point and consider the foundation and source of this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. This fruit of gentleness comes from God. He is the foundation and source of it. It's fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in the lives of Christians is gentleness, because it is the character of God Triune Himself, and it's reflected in all His works and ways. Oh, think of how we find the gentleness of the Lord displayed throughout Scripture. Consider just when Adam and Eve fell into sin, what did God do? He came to the garden in which they were hiding and asked, "Adam, where are you?" The Lord didn't come right to where they were foolishly trying to hide from Him and say, "You have sinned against me, and now you want to try and hide from me too, you wicked, ungrateful rebels, you fools." No, the Lord instead approached them gently. And while exposing all their terrible sin and guilt, the Lord did it most graciously and kindly still. Oh, the best proof is that even as the effects of their fall into sin were made known, God at the same time graciously declared the remedy through the promised Redeemer. And God provided clothing for Adam and Eve in their sin and guilt, and now their shameful nakedness as sinners before God and each other. Was the Lord not gentle too in preparing His people with the one and only remedy from sin through the whole system of animal sacrifices? The Holy God didn't demand human sacrifices in payment for sin, as He might have. But animal sacrifices were used in anticipation of the once-for-all Lamb of God who should take away the sin of the world through His shed blood on sinners' behalf, namely Jesus Christ, the Son of God, become Son of Man, the Savior of sinners. Don't we see God's gentleness displayed also in all His tender mercies and loving kindnesses and patient long-suffering and steadfast faithfulness shown to mankind, even in this grossly wicked world over its history since the fall into and till our present day? Isn't it right to say, dear friends, really, all the hurt and evil and unkindness in this world between people and to creatures and in all of nature is a result of sin and never something from God? God is infinitely kind and gentle and good, even as He remains unendingly just and holy and righteous. In Romans 2, verse 4, Paul calls to all the world, "Despisest thou the riches of God's goodness?" And literally, the word is gentle kindness, the same as in Galatians 5:22. "Despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads thee to repentance?" The great sin of mankind is your and my despising and disowning the kindness, the gentleness of God. How wicked and rebellious is mankind's discounting of the Lord's general and special revelation as Creator God and as one and only Savior of sinners, most kind and gentle. When God in justice punishes sinners even with everlasting punishment, that is not contradicting God being infinitely gentle, but it's emphasizing the sad result of those who all their life reject and despise God's grace and mercy and gentle loving kindness as revealed in and through Christ Jesus. Dear friends, will you, God forbid, live in ongoing rebellion and revolt against so gracious and good-doing, gentle, triune Savior God, as revealed to us in Scripture and in the person and work of Jesus Christ most gloriously? God in Christ is described in Scripture as the Savior God and the covenant-keeping God who will comfort His people, even as a mother comforts her children. Isaiah 66 verse 13 gives one of the most beautiful, loving, tender descriptions of the Lord. We read there, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. We read too in Psalm 103 verse 13, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. God's gentleness and kindness shown to His people infinitely exceeds even the most caring and tender love of the best father and mother one could ever have in this life. So in Isaiah 49 verse 15 we read, can a woman forget her sucking or nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God says to His people in Isaiah 54 verse 10 even, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on thee. Do we not see in Scripture the gentleness and kindness of God displayed towards sinful mankind, even in the description of the Savior as the Lamb of God? Oh, think of the emblems nations use for themselves, like the wolf, or the bear, or lion, or eagle, etc. But God in Christ will have Himself revealed especially, listen dear friends, as the Lamb, though He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We read in Revelation 5, when John saw the exalted Savior in glory, he saw Him as the Lamb, as it had been slain. What a tender, welcoming picture this is, for all to find refuge with Christ, the Savior of sinners. You need not be afraid to approach a Lamb. Think too of the Holy Spirit, described mostly as the heavenly dove, with the dove being a bird representing what? Gentleness and peacefulness. And think of the Father, God the Father, being described in doxology, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Oh, do you hear it? How beautifully and tenderly God triune in all His gentleness, in character, and in all His works and ways is declared to us. And in the person and work of Christ, as shown to us in all four gospel accounts, are we not given to hear and see so much of the gentleness of the Savior of sinners? Did not Jesus show judgment to be a strange work, and showing mercy and grace and love His chief delight? Did He not minister to children and women and men from among the Jews and also to the Gentiles? Did He not deal most gently with His erring and slow to believe disciples? Did Jesus not reach out in care even to His enemies? Jesus, Savior of sinners, was filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit even in perfect measure. Behold, Jesus, when giving Himself for the complete salvation of sinners, saying most graciously and tenderly, when humbling Himself even to the death of the cross, even as He was nailed to the wooden tree, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Behold, Jesus the Savior, hanging on the cross, suffering all the just and righteous punishment of God on behalf of sinners, that we might know nothing but the endless mercy and loving kindness of the Lord in our lives, trusting Him. Jesus experienced too, didn't He, the ruthless attacks of Satan and all the treacherous, brutal forces of godless mankind, that we might escape the clutches of the evil devil and the wickedness of this world and be brought into the company of the Lord's church and the communion of saints, and be made heirs of eternal life in the new world of everlasting love. Oh, what a mercy and love this gospel proclaims to us! When we think too of the Spirit's ministry in the application of salvation in the hearts and lives of sinners, must we not say how gently He works? In Psalm 18, verse 35, David testifies, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great." The Scriptures show and tell the gentleness of the Triune God in all His works and ways in regards to creation, providence, and redemption. Can you tell and testify of this too as something learned and experienced by you in your life as well? Isn't a way to grow in the fruit of the Spirit gentleness by more and more contemplating and seeking and praising God for His gentleness and kindness shown to us as faithful, covenant-keeping Savior God? Will not and should not the contemplation of God's unending superlative gentleness towards us, you and me, in turn lead us in being gentle in all our ways, and showing this fruit of the Spirit gentleness in all our ways, and in all our relationships, in all our activities? Will you and I so live too by God's grace, walking in the Spirit and by the Spirit, filled with His fruit in our lives? The foundation and source of this Spirit-worked fruit of gentleness is the work of God Triune in and through Christ Jesus, and being joined to Christ by grace through faith, and living in hearty and ongoing fellowship with Him. Once a person knows something of God's gentleness and kindness toward us in and through Christ, and with His Holy Spirit's tireless, ceaseless ministry in our own hearts and lives, it becomes overwhelming and heartbreaking. Heart-melting. Yes, knowing the gracious gentleness and marvelous loving-kindness of God towards yourself, and this the Spirit makes clear to us by His Word, through conviction of sin, and coming to know Jesus, and trusting Him for all our salvation. Oh, then you cannot and will not live in unkindness towards others. No, but you will see your calling to be gentle in all your ways, and with all those around us, even those who are not gentle to you. Does this all make sense to you, and find an echo in your mind and heart as well? I wonder. In encouraging and calling for that, let me bring out yet our third main point, namely the importance and blessedness of this fruit of gentleness. Does much have to be said here, even? For isn't it so obvious, really? Isn't it in the way of knowing and showing the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, that our Christianity proves itself not only as genuine and true, but also as so good and kind, and as such a witness, bringing praise to God Triune, and further blessings to others in so many ways? God's gentleness to you, when experienced and acknowledged in spirit and truth, becomes also by God's grace such a motivating and compelling reason to be seeking and showing this fruit of gentleness towards all others in all our ways. With this third point, my aim is to promote and encourage all of us to be diligent in showing genuine, gracious gentleness, the loving kindness of God Triune and Christ-like gentleness to those around us in our homes, our churches, and our world. And let us be repentant and sorry for any attitude or behavior not reflecting humble, kind, helpful gentleness to others. Can there be an excuse for not being gentle? To whom might you be gentle and more gentle? Is there someone you have been unkind to before whom you should apologize and change in showing gentleness and care and self-denying consideration? For motivation and gentleness to others, just remember always every single blessing in your life and my life is on account of God's undeserved mercy and gentleness towards us. For Jesus' sake, and for the measure of gentleness towards others, just reflect on God's unending multitude of loving kindnesses shown to you and me every day again. And for the scope of your gentleness and kindness, think about the scope of God's gentleness and kindness towards us in this life, even still in this sinful, cursed world. This gentleness of the Spirit is not something that doesn't have us involved. But when the Spirit works with sanctifying power in our lives, also this fruit He involves us in and makes us responsible and diligent and caring about in the cultivation and exercise thereof. Well, will you and I be about this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness? I hope no one of you in pride thinks that overall you are okay on gentleness and that this fruit doesn't have to develop and ripen more in your life. In whose life isn't there room for more of this divinely worked gentleness and kindness reflected from us to others? May none of us hear this message without conviction of sin in regards to lack of this fruit of the Spirit and showing still too often, too much, the fruit of the sinful flesh by nature, being unkind all too often still to all too many yet. May this sermon also draw and drive us to Jesus for forgiveness of sin and renewal of life through His blood and by His Spirit. Also with this word, with this message, God's gentleness to you and me calls us to true and ongoing repentance and faith and holiness before Him. And the importance and blessedness of so living by God's grace and Spirit cannot be overstated, really. As one put it, we have it within our grasp, walking by the Spirit, to enrich the lives of our contemporaries by caring for them in a personal, meaningful, Christ-like manner. Through the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, dear friends, we, as it were, make God more real in our world and make the gospel more attractive, and we do good to others and bring glory to God. Oh, to whom might you show this fruit of the Spirit worked Christ-like gentleness today and this week? In some special way, this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Who won't agree? Our fallen, depraved world sees far too little of it, much too little. The only hope of change and true love before God and each other is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, and His gentleness in His saving grace and power, renewing us and transforming us and making us great. Thy gentleness has made me great. Will you help demonstrate that in the world around you? He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. The fruit of the Spirit is, among other things, gentleness. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com. and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.